welcome all the devotees who have made their priorities to come on a Sunday feast, a hot, sunny Sunday afternoon with so many wonderful devotees gathered around here. Before I start to speak, actually it is my impudence to be sitting here in front of all of my senior devotees, somehow or other trying to carry out their instructions, though unable or incapable to do it. I try to do the best of justice to simply enumerate the light of the Bhagavat. So today, we are trying to discuss something on the matter of escaping. There are many kinds of escape that people try to do. Students at the college want to escape their classes. People, professionals on job, want to escape their job pressures. And sometimes even housewives want to take an escape break from their regular household duties. So everyone is escaping to some degree or the another. But when Vaishnavas or devotees, they try to escape, then people ask or they accuse the Vaishnavas, why are you trying to escape? Once when Srila Prabhupada was asked this question, so Swamiji, there is a claim that you simply give up everything and you simply do no productive activity. This is escapism. Prabhupada said, our escapism is escaping the illusion. And therefore, it is bona fide. Tamasoma jyotir gama, mrityorma amrutam gama. It is the duty of the spirit soul in the human form of life to escape the clutches, the entanglement, the miseries of this material existence. And this escape cannot be just made haphazardly, without any planning, without any direction, without any guidance. This escape has to be made very, very scientifically, very, very cautiously, and very intelligently. And therefore, the escape which the devotees try to make in their life is not based on sentimentalism or some fanaticism. It is simply based on true knowledge. And that's what the Bhagavad is all about. The Srimad Bhagavatam is simply a very fantastic torchlight which shows us the escape route. So when we escape, generally, it's not an easy. It's like in a maze. You have a maze where there are so many ways and not all ways lead to the escape door, the exit. There is one exit in this very, very complicated maze, as we used to do puzzling out as a child on escape. So we used to find out the route, you know, which way would go out. When we grew bigger, I remember in SL world, there is a maze, a green maze. So there is a maze where you enter and you have to find out your way out. So people play this escape like games. But the Bhagavad explains this escape in the form of a real and a very, very serious attempt, and not just for a recreation. So our escape to Krishna consciousness is not out of frustration, but out of genuine concern for one's own welfare, at the same time helping others. So today we'd like to discuss something about a perfect escape. So the perfect escape is when the living entity perfectly follows the route, avoids all the pitfalls, avoids all the obstacles, and progresses through the path which is the shortest way to the escape route. The fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam is about one such escape. In fact, many of the Bhagavatam episodes are dealing with the escape. For example, the escape of Parikshit Maharaj. the escape of Chitraketu Maharaj and then taking another birth as Vritrasura. The escape of Ajamil from having encountered the grim reality of finality of death and escaping that finality of death. And in the fifth canto, the classic escape of Bharat Maharaj. And this has many lessons for us to learn. So escape means one has to bear two points. One has to be cautious and one has to be alert. So more than actually just doing the right thing, we find ourselves getting caught up in the doing the wrong thing. Therefore, Srila Prabhupada said that simply preserve what I have given. Do not make any changes. If you simply follow what I have given, then you will attain the perfection of life. But the tendency of the living entity is to fall prey to the wrong rather than just doing the right. So, the first half of the life of Bharat Maharaj is about cautioning us what we must not do to further entangle ourselves. And the second part of Bharat Maharaj's life in the body of Jad Bharat is to inform us what we must positively do to make this escape a perfect escape. And therefore, where there is caution and alert, and along with there is determination, if there are these three things available, if the three things are always within the consciousness of a practicing sadhaka, then the escape becomes easier, secure and solid. So, let us just go ahead briefly with the life of Bharat Maharaj and collecting some quotes of Srila Prabhupada, where Prabhupada warns or gives caution to devotees what they must not do or what they must avoid. So Bharat Maharaj, after enjoying his kingdom, gave up his kingdom, renounced everything, distributed all the kingdom between his sons and left everything like one leaves stool after passing. He went to the bank of Gandaki River, where there are many auspicious shaligram shilas, and he performed austerities, penances, and was experiencing deep ecstasy performing his devotional service. And the Prabhupada said, these are the ways by which everything works, unknown to us. So this factor of being unknown is always there. You will never know what's going to happen next. Therefore, this unknown factor came in the life of Bharat Maharaj when he was in the peak of his devotional service. He was situated on the platform of Bhava and he was experiencing deep ecstatic emotions, worshipping the Lord, performing regulated worship and experiencing deep ecstasy. Soon it was found that there was a doe, a female deer, who was drinking water at the banks of that river, and suddenly there was a deafening roar of a lion. Now this doe, being fearful, she escaped. She began running in great fear as she ran across the river trying to escape the terror of a lion. As she was pregnant, the baby deer she had a miscarriage and the baby deer fell off in the river while she crossed the other side of the bank. And in this way, as she crossed, she found that her baby deer was helpless and she couldn't do anything about it. She finally rested in a cave and gave up her body in lamentation of being separated from her child. Now this all was was live telecast going in front of Bharat Maharaj's eyes. A soft-hearted Vaishnava as he was, it was natural for a Vaishnava to feel compassion for this baby deer as well as this female doe. Just as Arjuna felt deep compassion when he saw his relatives on the battlefield. And Prabhupada said, it is not a weakness of heart, but it is a genuine soft-heartedness of a Vaishnava. But Bharat Maharaj, as we see, he rescued the baby deer, took that care of just maintaining that deer, but his affection, which was natural for a Vaishnava, turned into attachment. And there was a gradual progression of affection to attachment. Affection is not bad. Prabhupada said, affection for family members. Oh, that is not bad. No, we should have affection. But that affection, when it turns into blind attachment, then that creates more entanglement and more trouble and miseries for making that final escape. So here, we find that Bharat Maharaj was so much attached to this deer that instead of doing his regulated worship, he started neglecting his duties. He started neglecting his duties, and instead of spending more time for his devotional practices, he started snatching away or transferring his time from his sadhana to taking care of this deer. And slowly, he became so infatuated with this deer that he could not live without it. Just some time ago, he was not able to live without rendering this devotional service and experiencing deep ecstasy. But later on, that ecstasy for the Lord turned into a blind attachment for this insignificant baby deer. And we find, even when Srila Prabhupada was in his initial years, many people would come with the dogs, the hippies. They were so attached to the dog, Prabhupada wouldn't let those dogs inside. And those who were so much attached to those dogs could not enter inside. Either they had to give up their dog outside, or some would just leave. So this Bharat Maharaj gave up everything of this family, finally to fall into attachment with an insignificant deer. That shows Srila Prabhupada has around 8 points of precautionary measures. What one must avoid on this path of escape route. Srila Prabhupada mentions that spiritual salvation and liberation from material bondage must be worked out with great caution. Otherwise, a little discrepancy will cause fall down into material life again. Srila Prabhupada said, practicing Krishna consciousness is like walking on a razor's edge. Like sometimes we shave, and if there's a little a division of attention, and even for a little split second, if the mind thought process deviates, though you may be physically, your razor may be there, physically you may be doing it, but a little deviation of the mind can cause a great havoc, it will cause bleeding. Similarly, a little discrepancy in the path, Shura Sadhara, is like walking on a razor's edge. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada said that, therefore, we can learn from the activities of Bharat Maharaj the art of being completely freed from material attachment. And then, the second point that we understand is that Bharat Maharaj compromised his regular duties of following the rules and regulations of his practice. Slowly, he started neglecting his sadhana. So this is the second pointer. When we become attached to any of the things or any of the people in a mundane way, we immediately see how are we balancing our attachment to Krishna or affection for Krishna and attachment for Krishna and not getting attached to mundane. It's a very thin line. It just happened very swiftly in the life of Bharat Maharaj. Thirdly, Srila Prabhupada says, one shouldn't think himself very advanced just because one has accepted the sannyas order of life. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada also used to caution his sannyasis to keep regular association and not just become proud of being in the renounced order of life. Fourthly, Srila Prabhupada said, the act of compassion, which is the heart of a Vaishnava, must not just be carried out recklessly. We are engaged as Vaishnavas in the preaching mission of Srila Prabhupada, and this preaching mission also must be executed in a way which helps others to escape and help ourselves also escape. And not that on the name of compassion, we become attached and we make others people attached and increase the bondage of the living entity. So Prabhupada says, raising one on the spiritual platform, if we ourselves do not follow the rules and regulations, then we will fail to be on the spiritual platform. And if when we fail to be on the spiritual platform, then we fail to elevate others from the material platform to the spiritual platform. Fifthly, Srila Prabhupada says that one shouldn't give up his interest in attaining the favor of Lord Vishnu. Bharat Maharaj, instead of getting the favor of Lord Vishnu, was becoming so attached to this deer that he started developing attachment to such a great extent that he wanted favors from the deer. Oh deer, where have you gone? Why are you separated from me for so long time? Please come and sit near me. And please don't go away from me. And when actually this deer left Bharat Maharaj, he became like a madman. Instead of becoming mad after Krishna, he became mad after this deer. Instead of developing feelings of separation for the Lord, just like the gopis, they used to develop these separations of feeling from Lord Krishna, Bharat Maharaj developed the same feelings of separation for this deer. This shows that these feelings of separation, feelings of attachment, these are natural for the living entity, only it has to be properly dovetailed. Therefore we see that Bharat Maharaj was so much, in fact one Srila Prabhupada wrote in his disciples a letter about management and so many other things. And finally after solving all the problems on a in a way that will be practical, Srila Prabhupada wrote an ending note. All of these things said and done. But actually our main business is not this. Our main business is to somehow or other become mad after Krishna. And that was Srila Prabhupada's mood. When his disciples would do this preaching work and do the various managerial duties to spread the mission of Krishna consciousness, they didn't want simply, Srila Prabhupada did not just simply wanted to become expert in their own fields. Srila Prabhupada said, this all said and done, we simply have to become mad after Krishna. If we don't become mad after Krishna, then we become mad after anything. And that's the whole world. The whole world is simply mad, running after the objects of sense gratification. Sixthly, Srila Prabhupada says, unless we have faith in the Supreme Lord, we shall naturally become attracted to the mundane conception of life. When we lose our faith in Krishna, then naturally our faith is placed in something apart from Krishna. And wherever Krishna is, there is no Maya. And wherever there is Maya, there is no Krishna. That means there is no intersection that I'll have a little bit of Krishna and a little bit of Maya. And I'll be able to work out the problem in a very feasible way. Maintaining my attachments, I'll be able to serve both masters. It is difficult to serve two masters at one time, especially when both are actually taskmasters. Krishna is not so easy master that he is very complacent and you know he will allow you to do whatever you want. Nor is Maya. Because who is Maya? Maya is Krishna's own energy. Daivi esha guna mai mama maya durataya. As Shikshashtri Prabhu once said, that just as one has to become serious about Krishna consciousness, one has to become equally serious about becoming serious about Maya. Not seriously engaging in Mayic activities, but seriously becoming fearful of the illusory energy. Therefore, Bharat Maharaj slowly, slowly put his faith in that affection of the deer, thinking that this deer will give me pleasure, the deer will give me real ecstasy. And Vraj Kumar Prabhu was once giving his Bhagavatam class, and he says, Bharat Maharaj had his deer, and we have our own deers. We may have our own kind of insignificant attachments, right? One saying goes, it is not that the great temptations lead us astray, it is the insignificant ones. And that's what happened in the life of Bharat Maharaj. He gave up the great temptations, the big attachments, the big blocks of attachments, and but succumb to an insignificant deer's affection. This is how the escape route, it filled with so many great dangers. Especially when these dangers are not visibly seen. They are very subtle. They are not very clear to visualize unless one is properly guided. And Srila Prabhupada mentions the seventh point in case of preaching activities. And Srila Prabhupada mentions that one must not become attached to anything but Krishna, because we are dealing with the material energy and we are dealing with so many material activities to preach in this material world. If we do these preaching activities and we get attached to those material activities, or we get attached to those things that we use in Krishna's service, then there is a great danger of developing that same attachment. And therefore Srila Prabhupada says that if we see everything and we remember that everything is for Krishna, then we will never get deviated. And the eighth point, the most important point, Bharat Maharaj was in a perfect state of existence, perfectly situated, just about to finish. He just about to reach the finish line. He was just another 50 meters away from the finish line. And he simply collapsed. He collapsed there and there itself. Just like you see a runner who is running fast, and you see that, yes, we are cheering everyone, but he has exhausted so much of his energy that he did not reserve his energy for another 50 meters. That's not an intelligent runner. And therefore, in order to successfully complete the race, one needs a very expert coach, an expert trainer. Without coach being coached, without being properly guided, even athletes, they pay a huge sum of money to get trained by a particular, a very, very experienced coach who himself has the experience of participating in such events, such crucial events of life. And therefore, Bharat Maharaj neglected to take guidance of a spiritual master while he was practicing his Krishna consciousness. He took the instructions from his father, Rishabhdev, but he did not take a dynamic consultation from senior Vaishnavas or some Vaishnavas around him. Had there been any Vaishnavas around him, the first act of Bharat Maharaj was that of compassion. The second became affection. And then affection became attachment. Attachment became infatuation. Any point of time when that compassion would have become affection, and that affection would have transformed into attachment, he would have been cautioned, Prabhu, affection is becoming attachment. So please, stop here. Wait. Retrace your steps back. This is danger. This, you are entering the danger zone. You are entering an area where there are landmines. But Bharat Maharaj was simply walking on, thinking that yes, there is a escape route also from here. And therefore we see this eight precautionary steps that you learn from the life of Bharat Maharaj, that one must be very careful to execute our Krishna consciousness and working on our escape route. Nevertheless, we find that when Bharat Maharaj reached the final moments of his life, the Bhagavad Gita says that yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tamtam tyajeti kalevaram. That whatever state of consciousness one is at the time of death, and as the theme goes on, from today's Bhagavatam class, where Srinathji Prabhu nicely spoke, that death is such a wonderful thing. Why? Because that is the door to escape. Either that is the door to escape, or that the door, if you reach the wrong door, that leads to another maze. Like, you know, if there is one maze that you come out, and if you successfully come out of the maze and say, yes, I have come out of this maze, just to land in another bigger maze than that, then what would happen? That is a greater misery than being in the previous maze. Because you will take a much longer time to go out from that bigger maze. And then you say, no, I like to move out through these wonderful mazes. And then you keep going on the wrong way to land up into bigger and bigger and bigger and complicated and a complex mazes of one by one. That's the situation of the living entity in this material existence. When it does not properly execute the perfect escape, it simply increases the suffering in a bigger way by taking birth in various species of life. Nana yori sada fire kadar ye bhakshan kare. Just not being in different species of life, but eating all kinds of abominable foodstuffs. As human form of life, we are eating good foodstuffs. We have a chance to eat, have a nice Sunday feast coming soon. Very attractive Sunday feast. But imagine, if we are not working this path of escape accurately, Indra was satisfied eating the stool when he actually took the body of a hog. Imagine the situation just on a gross platform. From a Sunday feast to a hog feast. A very pitiable condition. But that's what is happening exactly with the people of this world who are blind to this need for self-realization. And even in our lives as practicing sadhakas, it is such a very delicate, sensitive and very subtle issue. It's not just for the karmis, but it's equally important for the sadhakas, because if Bharat Maharaj is on the platform of bhava and he can get affected by this attachment to an insignificant deer, where is the possibility of our being not being misguided or not being misleaded? Therefore, the Bhagavatam is giving us many chances. Ajamil was given second chance. But the Bhagavatam is giving chance after chance after chance just to learn from this so-called mistakes or so-called blunders. There are books of blunders. So many amazing blunders. And people read and, oh, what a blunder that was. Right? But people commit bigger and more amazing blunders after that, being inspired by these blunders. So one can take inspiration in any way. So we see that though Bharat Maharaj was on the platform of bhava, but temporarily his Krishna consciousness were overshadowed. And because of his intense affection for deer, this attachment for this deer, not able to find his deer, at the point of death, Bharat Maharaj simply lamented for the deer's absence. And in the state of lamentation for the deer, his consciousness being completely fixed on the thoughts of the deer, became deer in his next life. But this was not an ordinary deer, because Krishna never forgets the devotional service that is rendered to him. We may lose track of what we have performed in bhakti, but Krishna keeps very, very minute details. Krishna is simply looking for our positive nature, our positive affirmations. And even if once we have spoken, as Ramayana says that, what is the shloka that Sakradeva Prapanna Yas Tava Ismi Iti Yachate. Just by coming before the Lord, and once you have prayed before the Lord, Lord, please accept me as yours. If you take casually, Krishna takes very seriously. This is the mercy of Krishna. Putna came to kill Krishna. And she was so confident, you know, I'm going to just kill Krishna. It's a baby boy. It's not the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And she came so confidently. And she simply casually fed the poisoned milk to Krishna. So she came casually to kill Krishna. But Krishna took that very seriously as an act of devotional service. And that casual negligent approach to Krishna, Krishna took as a positive affirmation of her devotional service. And Krishna sucked away all the poison first, creating great purification in Putna's consciousness. And then Krishna gave and accepted that milk as an offering of love. So what we offer Krishna is simply contaminated. It's simply impure. But what Krishna does? Krishna is extracting. Krishna has his nectar extractor with him. Right? So he doesn't search for the poison extractor. Right? He extracts the nectar. It's like a filtering machine. Whatever goes in, the refuse of poison is thrown away, but the nectar, a few drops of nectar are extracted and they are preserved. Yes, this belongs to so-and-so Prabhu. And Krishna takes note. Oh, whenever next time some filtration has to take place, Krishna keeps on adding and Krishna builds up his reserves without the notice of that devotee who might not be intentionally practicing his bhakti. So even a casual acceptance of Krishna consciousness is taken so seriously by Krishna. What to speak when we take Krishna consciousness seriously? So therefore, this life of deer was not an ordinary birth, but the deer was extremely conscious of his previous life, where he could see like a trailer what happened. The deer could remember not only his affection, why he became a deer. And therefore, he saw the situation of how actually he fell down in Krishna consciousness. So Krishna is so merciful that even if we commit mistakes, it's not like an examination paper when you write a paper and then you just get the marks. And then you ask, where did I go wrong? Why did I fail? And then you get no explanation for that. But Krishna is a teacher, an examiner, who checks your paper, and even if you fail, Krishna gives and shows, see, these questions you didn't answer properly. Huh? So next time, when you attempt, don't make mistakes here. Just like in the school, when we were given our papers, our results, so we'd go to the teacher, and the teacher would call out one by one, give the papers, we'd take the paper, come back and see, oh, I lost my marks here, oh, I thought this was correct. This was right. And discussing with friends, we discuss, yes, my answer is right. Why did I get wrong? And we compare with the students, neighboring colleagues, and we go to the teacher. No, I was correct here. Why did you give me wrong here? Why did I lose my marks here? And teacher specifically pinpoints, see this situation. This was a crucial mistake. Everything is right except this formula, except this term, except this assumption. And then we realize our mistake. That we don't, is like a unit test and a semester and then the finals. So till the finals, you keep getting to know your mistakes so that you don't. Just like even in school, we used to get 2 chances to improve for the final examination. But Krishna gives us unlimited chances. And Krishna never wants us to fail. Therefore, Krishna is like a teacher who opens our paper and he tells, where did you go wrong? And not that Krishna will come in a dream. Krishna will indicate through his devotees. Krishna will come in the medium of a spiritual master. Krishna may also come or present as a mundane person, an ordinary person, and may inform us, like Srila Prabhupada was distributing Back to Godhead magazines. And he was painfully going through the process of printing these magazines, making that hard task. But finally, one person said, Swamiji, why are you distributing this Back to Godhead magazines? People will keep magazines and will throw them. Instead of magazines, print books. And then that was the indication taken by Srila Prabhupada that who is this person telling me? I'm working so hard, I know what I'm doing. That's the first response in our practice of sadhana. If someone comes and tells, Prabhuji, just do it this way, it'll be better. And the immediate reaction is there and within, rebellion. Who are you to tell me this? What do you know about what I'm doing? And that's what one must be careful, that Krishna is coming and prompting us through so many people. We have to simply open our heart to receive those guidance and correction. Therefore, Prabhupada was reminded previously of the previous order which his Guru Maharaj gave, that if you ever have some money, print books. And that was the time when Srila Prabhupada crystallized his determination and simply focused on compiling the Srimad Bhagavatam. So Krishna, even if Prabhupada said in one of his Gita purports, that even if a devotee is not very intelligent and is situated in an organization like this, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, and he tends to get waved, he tends to get swayed away, what will Krishna do? Krishna will personally come and guide him to the Paramatma. So even if he is not able to accept the guidance of the devotees around him, still Krishna will not say, I just leave you. Krishna will still try to indicate some way or another. And that's how the life of the deer was so repentant. This life of the deer was Bharat Maharaj spent in a very, very significant way. He had this attitude of constant repentance. He was detached. As soon as it was born from his mother, immediately left from the Kalanjara mountains to come back to Pula Ashram, because he knew that this is the place where I will meet devotees. And this time I will take the association of devotees, because previously I neglected to take the association of devotees. And I simply relied on my own defective, mundane intelligence. And that's how we see that the life of detachment in case of Narad Muni, when he was a son of a maid servant, and when he got the association of these Bhakti Vedantis, and his mother died, Narad Muni immediately did not lament, but he acted upon the valuable fortune of his previous association and immediately went in the forest to execute the mission of his life. And in this way we see the attitude of constant repentance brought about detachment in the life of Bharat Maharaj in the form of deer. And the third attitude was that avyartha kalatvam. This deer did not went or spent away time frolicking in the forest, moving with the other deers, the other female deers, or moving just casually, just spending time eating grass, nibbling a little grass here, nibbling a little grass there. But simply, it spent its time in solitude, being in the association of Vaishnavas, and very carefully, the consciousness of Bharat Maharaj was preserved and was determined to not make any mistakes. So we see the transition of Bharat Maharaj, of being cautioned, being alert, being always Prabhupada gives 8 points, these wonderful 8 points which are covered in the, and many more points from the Srimad Bhagavatam, but some of these being major ones, what one must avoid. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varchanam. The first two symptoms of surrender is that to accept what things are favorable for devotional service and to reject what things are not favorable for devotional service. That shloka says that sarva vidhi nishedyasu smartavya satatam vishnur vismartavya na jatuchit sarva vidhi nishedyasu etayor eva kinkara. The goal of all scriptures and all the principles is simply two things. Always remember Krishna, but never forget Krishna. So two things are given. Daivi esha gunamami mama maya duratya mame vaya prapadyante maya metam tarandite. So Devame Swami Maharaj also writes, when you cross, so it seems like, oh, it's so much of dismay, so much of discouragement, what you must not do. Generally when we talk to devotees, We generally tell, you know, what you must do in Krishna consciousness. Definitely, when Srila Prabhupada came to the West, he did not say, no meditating, no illicit sex, no gambling. Even before initiation, Srila Prabhupada did not disclose the four regular principles. After initiating them, Srila Prabhupada one fine day wrote a list that all initiated disciples now must now follow this four regular principles. Right? So, obviously, when Srila Prabhupada gave so much concessions in the beginning, but later on Srila Prabhupada curtailed them. He told them what to do and then later told them what not to do. That would protect his disciples from falling down. And Srila Prabhupada writes many times in his purports that if they do all this, if they follow simply my orders and they follow these rules and regulations, then my disciples will not fall down. So Srila Prabhupada was very, very sad and very, very anguished when any of his disciples fell away from the path of devotional service. And that was his concern. Prabhupada said, I have only one concern, that my disciples will not fall down. Therefore, the story of Bharat Maharaj is for us. And Devanga Sahib was once telling, is mentions in his book, The Perfect Escape, a very nice book on the same theme. He said, when you walk or cross a street, it's not that just you see the right side and walk, but you also see the left. So similarly in Krishna consciousness, we have to cross, we have to make an escape. If you don't see properly, you might just be banged by any impending vehicle. And therefore, looking left, looking right, again confirming by looking left and looking right, and then we make our crossing. Similarly, in Krishna consciousness, what not to do, what to do. What not to do, what to do. And then we make our perfect escape. Similarly, now we see, going further, that this the mercy of the Lord is so wonderfully established here. That even if we forget, Krishna wants us to remind us. He is more enthusiastic. And that we see in the case of the deliverance of King Muchukunda. Muchukunda Maharaj was fighting on the behalf of demigods and fought a valiant battle against the demons just to favor the demigods. And when Muchukunda Maharaj came back, the demigods congratulated him, but they also informed him that being fighting with the demons, you spent a lot of time. And fighting in the realm of the demigods, due to the relative time difference, your kingdom has already passed many generations. And therefore, even if you want to go back, you won't find your family, your kingdom. So please ask a benediction in return for your service. Ask for any benediction and we'll give you that. And Muchukunda Maharaj, just see, because his consciousness was fighting and he was so tired, so fatigued. First thing when you are fatigued, we just say, sleep. Relax. I have done my 16 rounds, I have done my service. Everything is over. Everything is, all the tasks are done. Now I am tired. I am just waiting for the time to collapse. Right? And that's the intention. And that's how Muchukunda Maharaj, the first thought after doing such Herculean task, he said, I want to sleep now. I want to sleep peacefully. No one should disturb my sleep. And that's what comes, you know. After performing services, Janmashtami, Nandotsav, and then we want to spend time, you know, with relaxing the body. And then Muchukunda Maharaj was benedicted. Yes, we'll give the benediction. Anyone who tries to wake you before time, when you have not completed your rest, just by your glance, that person will be burned to ashes. So Krishna, Muchukunda Maharaj was sleeping for many, many years, but Krishna was reminded, my devotee is sleeping for a long time. Right? Let me wake him up. It's time to get up now. Jeev jago, jeev jago. So Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come to sleep the waking souls. So Muchukunda Maharaj was not just woken up from the slumber of sleep only, just not by waking up of the sleep, but also waking up from the slumber of ignorance. Because real ignorance or real sleep means the ignorance of our real identity as being eternal loving servants at the lotus feet of Radha Gopinath. So therefore, when we forget after doing our services, and sometimes temporarily we might forget, as happens with many devotees, they left Krishna consciousness, but somehow by the mercy of Krishna they were drawn back. Somehow by the shikha. That's why we keep the shikha. So even if some tuft is remaining, Krishna will get some hold. Even if you don't have it, don't worry. Right? That is Krishna's responsibility. And he knows how to do it, even without that. Because his grip is even more stronger than we ever think. He does not need anything to hold on to. So what we see in life of Mushikunda Maharaj, Krishna was attacked by Kalyavan, Mathura was being attacked by Kalyavan, and Jarasandha at the 18th attack at the same time. And Krishna just, you know, peacefully just left. Kalyavan was coming in front of Krishna, and Krishna was walking towards Kalyavan without any weapons. And Kalyavan is confused. You know, here I am with the whole army, and now I am planning to attack Krishna, and Krishna is going to come. He was expecting that. He'll come with a huge force, great force, weapons. And Krishna just walks in front of Kalyavan and thinking that he's going to challenge me now. But Krishna does not do anything and just walks past Kalyavan. And like, Kalyavan is like, you know, like completely confused. And his Kshatriya spirit is completely, you know, melted. You know, what to do now? I cannot fight with one who has no weapons. And then Krishna just starts running away. So Kalyavan drops his weapons and starts chasing after Krishna, thinking that with my speed, I will be able to conquer Krishna and will have a hand-to-hand fight. And Prabhupada mentions that if Krishna was so easy to be caught, right, then all of the munis who are trying to speculate and trying to understand the absolute truth by the dint of mental speculation, even if they approach Krishna with the speed of their mind, they will never be able to approach Krishna, because Krishna cannot be conquered by any amount of mental speculation or fruitive activities. Therefore, even if, and Kalyavan was a Shudra, and because he was contaminated with so many anarthas, material desires, just because of his consciousness was so contaminated, he could not approach Krishna. But that same Krishna was approached very easily by Mother Yashoda, because he was simply caught by the love of Mother Yashoda. So Kalyavan simply ran, and it was Krishna's plan to do two things at a time, like hitting two birds with one stone, killing two birds with one stone. And Krishna entered into that cave where Muchukunda Maharaj was there, sleeping. And that was the time Krishna went and just disappeared. Actually, even Krishna did not do anything to wake up directly, right? He orchestrated everything that under his supervision, everything would take place smoothly. Kalyavan came inside the cave, seeing some man sleeping, thought that this is Krishna sleeping. Oh, now finally caught hold of him. And he just kicked violently. And what happened? Mochikunda Maharaj woke up. And as his eyes opened, the flare of fire simply zoomed into Kalyavan and burned Kalyavan to ashes. Krishna Bhagavan ki jai. So Krishna has amazing way of showing mercy. Kalyavan, he did not want to even touch Kalyavan, right? So contaminated. I won't even fight with him. So I will wake Muchikunda Maharaj and I will give him the credit of killing Kalyavan, so that he will get some credit to approach me. And as soon as Muchikunda Maharaj was done away with his slumber of sleep, his slumber of ignorance was dissipated by the glaring effulgence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, standing just before him. And Muchikunda Maharaj asking, knowing that this is his lovable Supreme Lord, he then offers prayers. I have been simply living in this dark well of materialistic life, and though I conquer so many kingdoms, I win so many battles, but when I come back at home and when I enter into the inner chambers where my queens are waiting for me, I simply become a puppet in their hands just because they lure me for sense gratification. And for a little sense gratification, I become like a puppet. The same brave Kshatriya is simply becoming a puppet, and I've wasted my life in such a gross way that I have forgotten my real identity. And by your mercy today, you have given me the real knowledge, the real enlightenment. So this is how we see that even if a devotee is not so enthusiastic, but he has rendered some service, Krishna keeps his credit intact and reciprocates with a, he's like, I was talking to in one place and was telling that it's like a provident fund. Like Krishna takes some part of a credit of bhakti, and what happens? He keeps with it with him and he adds a more amount and makes his accumulated credits, so that at the time of making that final escape, Krishna will repay all that in one installment, so that all the debts of being entangled in this material world are exhausted. And in this way, we find that Krishna is so mercifully trying to plan our escape. But we are bent on not escaping. Krishna is opening the door and we are closing it from here. Krishna is opening and we are closing the door. So no, not now. This is nice. I want to enjoy this maze for some time. I'll come after some time. But Krishna is more enthusiastic. So this we find in this wonderful episode of Muchukunda Maharaj. How, and Muchukunda Maharaj was told, now that you have prayer, offered me such beautiful prayers and pleased me, I will simply offer you whatever benediction you want. And Muchukunda Maharaj says, now I don't want to waste this opportunity. Now that you have opened a door for me, I will not close it again. So please bless me that I may always remember your lotus feet. And Krishna gives the same instructions to Arjuna. Man mana bhava mad bhakto. Always think of me. And this is the benediction with all the devotees ask for. But Krishna's arrangement is that, Muchukunda Maharaj, you have performed in the role of a kshatriya so many heinous acts of killing the animals. So you have to repay, or you have to pay off the reactions for those sinful activities. So in this life, you will not be able to come to me. But definitely, you perform austerities in this life. And in the next life, you will attain my abode. And Muchukunda Maharaj goes to the Badrika Ashram, and the Himalayas regions that is just above Badrika Ashram is Muchukunda Gufa. A very beautiful scenic place. Having been there previously with devotees, Govind Prabhu had led us for a wonderful yatra, and we could actually see that Muchukunda Gufa just above Badrika Ashram. And that was the place where Muchukunda Maharaj fixed his consciousness on the Supreme Lord and attained in his next life the association with the Supreme Lord. Similarly with Narad Muni, when he saw, meditated on the Supreme Form of the Lord, Form of the Supreme Lord, the Lord appeared for some time and then vanished. Being eager for the association of the Lord, Narad Muni cried, please appear before me. And then a voice, divine voice came. In this life, you have not become completely purified. So be patient, and in next life, you will become a great devotee. The eternal spaceman, Narad Muni, becomes the transcendental spaceman in his next life. So, here we see that we cannot force our way into the kingdom of God. We have to be patient. We have to wait for the mercy of the Lord. And only when the Lord is willing, only then the Lord, only by the Lord's causeless mercy, we can actually attain his lotus feet. And therefore the devotee must be ready for purification. And anytime we talk so much about purification, but when you talk about purification, we are simply talking, actually I went through a severe purification. Means we just talk about our distresses, but actually when we go through the purification, we must feel that now I have become purified. That means I am now ready to become a suitable offering for the Lord. It must be a pleasure in purification, and not that we just accept it with a disgruntled heart. So finally we see that the other side of the escape. Now the escape is now being made in perfection. And therefore, Srila Prabhupada names the chapter which shows the life of Bharat Maharaj, the third life of Bharat Maharaj, as the supreme character of Jad Bharat. While the previous chapter was named as character of Bharat Maharaj, but this chapter is named as supreme character of Jad Bharat. That means, in this life, he did not commit any mistakes. He did not repeat any mistakes that he committed his previous life. And therefore, that character was very supreme, taintless and spotless character. And therefore, we see, even the life of Jad Bharat, Prabhupada mentions that he became a very stout man with a very healthy body, and he was born in a Brahmana family. And Prabhupada says, Shuchinam Srimatam Gehe. And just by performing bhakti, one gets birth in a highly elevated Brahman family. And therefore, Prabhupada mentions that the Brahmana father of Jad Bharat wanted to educate him in all the rituals, in all the purificatory process. But he was so attached to Jad Bharat, but Jad Bharat was the least attached to his father. And to express his detachment, he was unwilling to accept his father's instructions. If his father would say, now you clean your, wash your hands, or if you evacuated and you wash your hands later, he would do the other way around. He would wash and then evacuate. And then he would do everything reverse, making his father know that he's actually unfit for anything. He's unfit for training to be entered into the Grihastha ashram, and even his training as a Brahmana, he would not accept it. Though internally he was so alert that Prabhupada mentions that Jad Bharat was Bharat Maharaj in the body of a Brahmana, and he outwardly conducted himself as if he were a dull, deaf, dumb and blind. Imagine, he perfected the art of being a complete handicap. Right? Usually we find blind. One handicap is blind handicap. Other is a deaf handicap, a dumb handicap. But Jad Bharat was acted as he was dull, deaf, dumb and blind. That means he simply was, and Prabhupada says that actually he was quite alert within. Maharaj Bharat was completely absorbed in devotional service within. Therefore, it was not necessary to execute regulative principles of fruitive activity. And therefore, we see the character of Bharat, supreme character of Jad Bharat was that he was extremely cautious. He was extremely alert. And not only that, he was alert, cautious, but he was absorbed. He was absorbed in deep meditation on the Supreme Lord. He was always afraid of non-devotee association. And he was not attached to performing the prescribed duties of a Brahmana. So even there are so many ones, if you elevate from the mode of ignorance to mode of passion and the mode of goodness, and sometimes we are told to come to the level of mode of goodness. But even the mode of goodness is a greater entanglement, a greater bondage. Once Pankaj Angripu was mentioning to us in one of the programs that sometimes devotees feel too much of this Bombay passion and too much of this heavy purification coming through here. Let us go through a gradual and a natural way of purification. Let us spend time in Goshala, in Mayapur Dham, or spend time where there is no, it's simpler to execute our bhakti. Let us escape to Vrindavan. That is, you can make an escape only by the guidance or consultation from Vaishnavas. It's not that, no, it's not allowed. But Bharat Maharaj, Jad Bharat was so cautious, and that Pankajangri Prabhu said that, so sometimes a devotee can go to this Goshala, take care of the cows, and become so attached to the cows, so become attached to the mode of goodness, that he will take repeatedly birth near some Goshala in the mode of goodness, birth after birth after birth. That is not the goal of life, to have a peaceful disposition, very natural environment. The Jad Bharat did not escape into some secluded spot. Though being in the middle of the things around him, he was internally completely absorbed. And therefore externally the devotee may go through very difficult circumstances. But as long as he's internally active, alert and absorbed in Krishna consciousness, Krishna sees the heart of the devotee. And therefore we see that Jad Bharat was a great devotee, but he pretended himself to be a dull, deaf and blind. And sometimes with us, especially with me, I'm not a devotee, but I want to show I'm such a great devotee. So one thing is the pretense, a genuine humility through pretense, and second is hypocrisy. So generally, being a devotee and telling that, I'm not a devotee, that is the highest stage of spiritual consciousness. So once Hridayananda Maharaj wrote three poems of Prabhupada's approval. And the first to describe very painful entanglement in material life. And third was a plea for release. please leave, just like what to do and what not to do. Like, and he, this third was a very nice poem, and he said, the poem read as follows: "Oh, your lordship Krishna, please hear me. Your devotee is calling so sadly. He forgot your lotus feet, now is lost, he's met defeat. Oh, greatest of persons, please see me. Your devotee is falling so badly. To enjoy this world, he tried. Now let it be rectified. Oh, please, Radharani, take pity. A devotee is trapped in city. The nine gates are robbing him. Take pity, he is near the end." Prabhupada heard this poem and appreciated and replied, "This poem is very nice. However, one should not think of himself as a devotee." Prabhupada said, your poem 3 should read as follows: "Your servant's calling so badly. Your servant's falling so badly. A servant's trapped in the city. One cannot call himself a devotee, but a servant he can call himself always." And Prabhupada, after signing the letter, typed, he added in his own hand at the bottom, which is unusual. And Srila Prabhupada wrote, "Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu presented himself as Patita Kinkaram Mam Vishame Bhavam Budhav." That I am, and Prabhupada said then, Kinkaram means servant. As long as we are in the mood of being this humble servant of the servant of the servant, however we may be in difficult circumstances, we will be able to internally absorb ourselves in this process of Krishna consciousness without getting affected by the attractions, by the diversions and the distractions of this material existence. And in this way we see Jad Bharat, and Prabhupada also would exemplify, like when he was in Australia and he was sitting on a huge Vyasasan on the height, and Prabhupada was saying that Brahmana means first class, Kshatriya means second class, Vaishya means third class, and Shudra means fourth class. And someone said, "So you're thinking you're first class?" Prabhupada said, "No, I am fifth class." And Prabhupada said, "Even if you cannot accept my instructions sitting from this high seat, I am willing to sit down if that makes you hear with submission." So Prabhupada was so humble, so absorbed. Even he went through such turmoils and such difficulties because he was always with his spiritual master. He never felt the absence of his spiritual master because he was always meditating in great humility on the instructions of his spiritual master. And that's how we see that a devotee never considers himself a devotee, but always a servant of the servant of the servant. And just like this poem read, we are claiming ourselves to be devotee, and actually we are not a devotee, but simply a servant. And in this way, Jad Bharat simply remained a vegetable in one sense. So the second thing was that the consequence of this action was that he was unaccepted by everyone. Usually in Krishna consciousness, we want acceptance. People are looking for acceptance, a little recognition, a little credit. Prabhu, you did nice service. I just want to be heard, you know. You were there in that service. If someone mentions, "Oh, this service was done by this, and they miss out your name, and we feel, Krishna has not accepted my service. See, the name was not announced. Right? So the typical tendency is that no one recognized me. If devotees don't recognize me, how will Krishna recognize me? So we apply our philosophy, Vaishnava philosophy, to our own acceptance, looking for acceptance. And the whole world is living on this expectation of being accepted by others. And that's how Jad Bharat was not concerned with praise, honor. And sometimes when Srila Prabhupada would glorify his devotees, how these devotees would take. Once he glorified, he told one of his servants, Satsarup Maharaj, that Jadvait Prabhu is a very nice typist and a good editor. And he does things very nicely. And Jadvait Maharaj then, when he received this praise, he said, "Actually, Srila Prabhupada is expecting me to be a good typist and a good editor. And therefore, I must in all humility try to raise myself to that level of his expectations." So when we receive praise, we should not accept this praise. "Yes, actually I am more than this." But actually, you know, you felt a little short in your glorification. Should I add something of my own? Prabhu, even these points can be added. Right? No. Prabhu, this is too much. You have gone beyond. You have gone beyond all limits. Please lower your expectation from me, because I will not be able to match and I may not be able to satisfy you. And this is how a devotee thinks. And therefore, Jad Bharat was not concerned what the world is saying, what the people around him is saying, but is simply trying to better his devotional service. And therefore, we see a devotee is very alert, very attentive, very meticulous in performing his Krishna consciousness, and does not take any activities of Krishna consciousness as rituals, as formalities, or as some kind of routines. We see in this pastime of Raghav Pandit, who was offering coconuts, tender coconuts to the Supreme Lord Krishna. He would have very nice coconuts in his growing on his own in his own garden, but he would go 20 miles walking from his place just to fetch nice sweet coconuts for the pleasure of the Lord. And therefore Krishna does not see in how much time it takes, but he sees the consciousness. So when these coconuts were being brought, and they would be clipped, they would be stored, and when the offering would be made, the hole would be made, and then would be offered to the Lord for the drink. And Krishna would accept, Krishna would drink from these coconuts. And then when the pulp will remain, he would nicely remove the pulp and again offer it to the Lord. The Lord would accept it, but again leave his remnants just to please his devotee. Once Raghav Pandit called one of his servants to be there and fetch the coconuts on the doorway. So the servant was bringing coconuts, but with the same hand actually he touched the ceiling, which was just a little height above, and with that same hand he held the coconuts again, and Raghav Pandit became furious. He said, "These coconuts cannot be offered, throw them away, these are all contaminated." Actually Raghav Pandit was so meticulous that he found that, just see, there are so many people passing through this passage, and the dust from the floor will gradually rise to the ceiling, and that dust of so many people's feet has touched the ceiling, and this person's hand has touched that dust. How can this contaminated offering go to the Lord? And the whole offering was thrown away, which was brought 20 miles away. Generally, if we have something, you know, which is so precious, he said, "It's okay, Krishna will accept it. Krishna is understanding. Now I've spent so much of time, I've brought it from I brought 2 hours distance, and no, even a little, you know, it's just something has just touched the floor. Krishna knows it's Kali Yuga. No. Kalau Shudra Sambhava, we are all Shudras. So what can Krishna expect from us Shudras? And therefore we can justify. But a devotee who is going and willing to go an extra mile in his consciousness to make the best offering to Krishna, to do the best of his ability. And that's how Krishna was so pleased with Raghav Pandit's devotion. And therefore, not just being alert and just being neutral or being averse or being completely unaffected or unattached to the material conception of the world outside, but that much attachment to the service of the Lord. And that's how we see in the life of Jad Bharat that he was completely alert, attentive, absorbed, and in this way, even though he was misunderstood, even he was criticized, at every step he was criticized, misunderstood by people, but still Jad Bharat did not give up his devotional service out of discouragement. Just like he was considered a fool by his father and he condemned, he was considered to be dull and brainless by his stepbrothers and the other people in the village. And he was told to guard the field, standing like a scarecrow, because he was so dumb and deaf. So he would not be able to do anything much. And then they would give him some reject food, which he would accept it as palatable dish. So he was not attached to eating palatable dishes. He simply accepted for the maintenance of his body. And he never complained, or he never felt that why these people are behaving like this. And not only that, he was considered an animal for sacrifice by the dacoits. So much so that they took him, they're about to chop him and make an offering to the goddess Kali, But Jada Bharat was so much faithful in the protection of the Lord that he never attempted to protect himself on by his own way. He was completely dependent, as Maharaj Ambarish, when that great demon was sent by Durvas Muni, Maharaj Ambarish simply stood with folded hands, did not repent, did not retaliate, did not in any way try to defend himself, because he knew, Rakhe Krishna Mare Ke, Mare Krishna Rakhe Ke. If Krishna has to protect me, no one can kill me. And if Krishna has to kill me, no one can protect me. So this great faith was had by Jada Bharat. And in this way, the final misunderstanding was taken by Maharaj Rahugana, who thought him to be an ordinary palanquin bearer. A great self-realized Mahatma was taken to be an ordinary carrier of palanquin. And Jada Bharat did not see, whom are you telling to carry the palanquin? Do you know who I am? I am so-and-so Prabhu, and I am doing so many services. I know the scriptures. He simply accepted it as the will of the Lord and simply carried the palanquin without any complaints. So if we simply practice our Krishna consciousness, feeling guilty for what people think of us, or we think something ill, feelings of someone who criticizes us, who do not understand us properly, and we fill our minds with so much guilt, so much ill feelings towards that devotee, that actually we are not able to absorb ourselves in our Krishna consciousness. So therefore, this topic of prana also was we have to let go of all of these things, all of these negative ideas, all of these negative selfish desires, so that actually we can focus on the real goal of life. And the Jada Bharat character is simply of complete, total self-introspection with absorption and completely being unaffected by the disturbances around. Tatha man apamanayo. And therefore, we see that not only he was above the bodily conception of life, but he defeated the bodily conception of life of Maharaj Rahugana. So in this way, we can see how wonderfully Krishna arranges the situations in the life of a devotee. So, for the past few days, going a transformation in my own life as a devotee, not as a devotee, but as trying to be a servant, is what we can understand. On the 7th of this month, there was an incident which took place. This spirit soul, this wonderful soul in the body of my mother, she left her body that evening on the 7th of September. And as she was a devotee, a very nice devotee, a kind, loving mother, and a very chaste, faithful wife, and very much cooperative and very much sincere in her practice of Krishna consciousness. She was chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra 16 rounds since last 6 years, attended a Vrindavan Yatra with the devotees here, and would always not fail to ever finish her rounds on a daily basis. And as I got this information that she was not so well and she was serious, as we reached, we came to know she had left her body. A pain of grief and a mixed emotion of guilt and repentance, that as a son, I could not be near my mother in her last moments. But as helpless I was, as Srinathji Prabhu said, helpless means actually we have to completely depend on the Supreme Lord and not on our own efforts. So just before leaving this place, I just prayed to Sri Sri Radha Gopinath that everything is in your hands. Now, whatever may be, it's up to you. You know what she has done, how much sincere she was. So the judgment is yours, and that is final. We reached and we found that she had she left her body because of massive heart attack, and which was unknown. Everything was normal since the last month. This was extremely unexceptional. It was completely exceptional that this such a thing could like this could have happened. So she was regular readingly Srimad Bhagavatam, Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavatam, right from the first canto. Like Prabhupada mentions in his preface that one should systematically read Srimad Bhagavatam from first canto till the 10th canto and not read portions from here and there. Then gradually everything will be revealed. Dedicated as she was, she read the Srimad Bhagavatam very devoutly, very religiously, along with her chanting of her rounds. And after meeting our family members, I just gathered some sequence of events which led to this glorious departure, which came to be known, which came to be revealed as a glorious departure thereafter. Sixth was her birthday she celebrated. And as a devotee, she wanted to do more spiritual activities on that day. Just like on that day, we pray to Krishna more, that let me become more purified, let me engage in our in devotional service more seriously. So she used to hear nice kirtans of all of our devotees, Govind Prabhu, Gaurang Prabhu, Gaur Gopal Prabhu, of the Janmashtami kirtan. She liked that kirtans very much. So on the 6th, she heard about 1.5 hours to 2 hours of kirtans. She chanted her 16 rounds, approximately 2.5 hours. And amazingly, to my wonder and to my great, what do you call it? I felt that, you know, she read the Bhagavatam for 4 hours. And that was amazing, that even never she had read for such a long time. And the Bhagavatam canto which she was going through currently was the 6th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the Ajamil Upakhyan, which reveals the glory and the mercy of the holy name. As she spent her time reading the Srimad Bhagavatam, the next day she showed some symptoms of ill health. By the afternoon she was uncomfortable, feeling discomfort. And just after having her meals, she read the Bhagavatam, the Srimad Bhagavatam 6th canto, for some time. And I just went to the Srimad Bhagavatam to find out, you know, what was the section that she read. Is there some proof that what was the thing she read last? So I found the Srimad Bhagavatam, that's a Gujarati Srimad Bhagavatam, and I found that there was a bookmark in the form of Krishna Balram, Radha Shyam Sundar, Gaur Nitai of Vrindavan, Krishna Balram temple, and also another confirmation that there was this another bookmark as a sign of confirmation. And she read for few minutes or 5 to 10 minutes, and thereafter she chanted one round. Though she was feeling uncomfortable, she completed one round, and she was telling that maybe today I won't be able to complete my rounds. And she was feeling repentant that of all the time, today it seems that I won't be able to chant or complete my rounds. She was feeling great regret that she had an inkling of what's supposed to come. And amazingly, after 2 hours of that, she started developing symptoms of a massive heart attack. The first one to come at 4:50, and later on was increasing. My father immediately sensed the seriousness and tried to shift her, made arrangements to shift her to the hospital. As she was being ready to be taken away, she reminded my father, please take my bead bag along with you. As Srinathji Prabhu mentioned today in the morning Bhagavatam class, that whenever there is a difficulty with the fire in the house, only one thing we must remember, where is my bead bag? And how devotees think, you know, when you lose your bead bag. He was mentioning this just today's Srimad Bhagavatam class. So I was also very much connecting that to what actually happened. And in that situation, when they had a very massive heart attack, she remembered her beads, her chanting, which was pending. And even if she was hospitalized, the beat back would have come anyways later on. But she knew that she would be without chanting her rounds. So at least she could be with the beat back and remember at the time of death. And again in the vehicle, when she was taken on the way to the hospital, she reminded my father again, who had the bead bag in his pocket. And she told him, please put the bead bag near my head. And within 10 minutes thereafter, she got a second attack, which was a fatal one. And thereafter, she lost symptoms of life. And I was thinking that, what was the thing that she read? The Srimad Bhagavatam. What could have transformed her consciousness? And the most famous verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam, which says that, Sanketam parihasyam va, stobanam helam va, helanam va, vaikunta nama grahanam, asheshaga haram vidu. This shows that the glory of the holy name, that even if indirectly indicated, jokingly, neglectfully, casually, or even taken as a musical entertainment, if chanted, will absolve the sins of a person who is about to suffer hellish suffering. And the verse thereafter says that, Patitam skalito bhagana sandushta tapta ahata haritya veshanaha pumana harti yatana. That says that even if you fall accidentally from a roof, or if you die from high fever, or if you traveling on the road suffering from broken bones, if you leave your body, but somehow or other you remember the holy name of the Lord, then one is saved from hellish suffering. The purport of this, written by A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, is very revealing as I was going through the whole thing again and again, which says that, the Bhagavad Gita Shloka, it says that yam yam vapi smaran bhavam tyajanti ante kale veram tam tam eviti kauntiya sada tad bhava bhavita. That a person, when he, whatever state of existence, consciousness he has at the time of the death, that state he will attain without fail. And the next Srila Prabhupada comments on this shloka, such a commentary which was so relevant, said that at the time of death, when a person is accustomed to chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, even if accidentally or suddenly there is a great obstacle, then it is naturally expected that one will remember the Hare Krishna Sankirtan at the time of death. And as I was going through these three situations, she was attached to hearing kirtans, chanting her rounds. And the second thing was that it was absolutely sudden. There was no indication. There was no expectation, the least of the expectation, a very healthy state. That was sudden, which Prabhupada predicts that even suddenly something happens. And then the third situation is that it is naturally expected that one will chant or remember the holy name. So, of course, I don't want to claim that just she's my mother and she could do so much. But I was moved that if I would be in that situation, probably I would have thought of the pain, or I would have thought of something else. So many dears that we have in our attachments would have revealed at that time. And therefore I felt that she chanted one round after reading this purport, and she was in the regret that I must chant my rounds. I must complete my rounds. Therefore she had that bead bag even till the last stage of her life. Then I was thinking that this was her bookmark, and she used to take darshans of these deities always. And I did not go to the next page, the right side, which is a possibility that she could have read it or not read it. But this purport is also another revelation of either what she had in mind or what was about to happen or the consequences thereafter. The Purport mentions about how Samba kidnapped the daughter of Duryodhan, but then Krishna and Balaram came to the rescue and rescued Samba from this precarious condition. And then it says that the purport is that a person must take complete shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna Balaram, and whose potency of protection is so great that in this material world there is no comparison to that protective potency. And the bookmark had Krishna Balaram, the deities of Krishna Balaram, and hardly Srila Prabhupada mentions Krishna Balaram, take shelter of Krishna Balaram in any of his purports. This page had the mention of Krishna Balaram, and the picture that she was there in front of her was the deities of Krishna Balaram. And the third thing to confirm, when my god brother Radhadyuti Prabhu was in Vrindavan at that time, the day after, called me up in the next day morning and told me that I am praying to the deities Radha Shyam Sundar Krishna Balaram and Gaur Nithai. So I just requested him, if you're coming along, can you please bring a garland, a Maha garland from the deities, from Radha Shyam Sundar. I just mentioned Radha Shyam Sundar because the next day was the condolence meeting, so I was saying that I could offer her that garland. And to my surprise, when I called up Radhadyuti Prabhu in the morning, that has, did you bring a garland? Could you manage to bring it? He said, yes, I could bring it. So I was so happy that she was attached to Vrindavan and the garland is coming from Vrindavan in such a miraculous, coincidental way. And I asked him, which deities Maha garland are those? Is there Radha Shyam Sundar? I said, no, Prabhu, actually the priest of Krishna Balaram gave me the garland of either Krishna or Balaram. And that was the third revelation in sequence, that somehow or other the Lord takes care, he purifies of all the contaminations, and in the end he just keeps the positive, like sucking the poison of Putana and just accepting the milk. So in my personal lives, I'm very grateful for what my mother has done for me. She has helped me in my Krishna consciousness, being supportive all the time, encouraging and always enthusiastic. In fact, I just wanted to please her by giving her this news on the day of her birthday, that I am giving a Sunday feast class on Sunday, just so that she'll be a little bit happier. And she became very happy the day before. And she said, please give it very nicely, just to fulfill her desire and go in Prabhu's order. Just sitting as a humble servant and out of gratitude for what this great soul did for my Krishna consciousness and many of others, to inspire them in their Krishna consciousness, give us a lot of hope. She was not a regular devotee attending the Sunday feast program, coming regularly for yatras, not regularly associating with devotees. But she was doing her lot sincerely. That means if we are capable of doing our best, we must do the best of our sincerity. At the same time, we must completely depend on the mercy of the Lord. And this shows that the Lord's mercy is for everyone, whoever follows the instructions of Srila Prabhupada. These purports of Srila Prabhupada are simply the things to unfold, the sequence of events to unfold in our life. We may be thinking that these are the regular purports which we have read again and again, and maybe, you know, we have gone through it so many times, maybe just a repetition. But for a devotee, for a follower of Srila Prabhupada, it means more than words. It means the benediction that Srila Prabhupada is giving through his Bhakti Vedanta purports to each and every one of us. So this shows that the potency of the Srimad Bhagavatam and the glories of the holy name are like a combined antidote for escaping this material existence. So this process is so easy, so sublime, and so miraculous that we can't just stop wondering and glorifying the causeless compassion of the Supreme Lordship, Shri Shri Radha Gopinath. Each and everyone has been given that benediction. It is our responsibility to shoulder that benediction with sincerity. And ultimately, Krishna will just see the sincerity of the heart of the practicing devotee. And even if that devotee has some deficiencies, he will simply suck out or extract, filter out all the negativities and just let the nectar remain for us to offer to him. So I just express my gratitude and I dedicate my talk today for the pleasure of my departed mother and also my father, brother and sister-in-law who have come here breaking all the social norms of coming to a temple after having experienced the death of a loss of a very near and dear one. Also their cooperation and support, and also it has enhanced their faith too. So I simply pray to all the Vaishnavas that wherever she must have gone, she would have the same attachment to her bead bag, her chanting of her rounds, and executing devotional service in a much greater capacity, which she could not have done in this life. And also to beg forgiveness from all the Vaishnavas if I have spoken something which has hurt any devotee or agitated someone. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Yantra Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Shri Lapabhupad ki jai.